Well, hallelujah. Things are definitely happening, and there was something I shared before about where we were. We are in such a transitional change, and you know, we've got to be willing to change when the Spirit says change. You know, we can't get caught up in traditions, even in knowledge. You know, there are things that God is giving us that he gave us years ago, but it was for a specific season, and that season was done with. The Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. Amen? There are things, and the Bible tells and tells us that God does a new thing. Now, we know that there's nothing new under the sun because he's already done it. You know, but he begins to bring a transition to his children to do a new thing because there's a specific plan and purpose. And we've got to be willing to flow with that plan. Does everybody understand that? You know, people get caught up in tradition, and I'm talking about even after God sends you. Let me back up a little bit. The Lord sent me to this place one time. Well, he sent me to a few places, but one time there was an advertisement of somebody doing a teaching on the book of Revelation. And I was a baby in Christ. Not that I'm much more than then, but, you know, we're still babies, amen? I'm never, you know, I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. But he sent me to this place, and I was with a bunch of other believers, and we went to these classes. And they were like once a week or whatever, and I started going to them, and, you know, I was very hungry and thirsty, and I wanted more of God. You know, I just wanted more and more of him. I couldn't get enough. Still can't. And they began to teach on the book of Revelation, and then something just kept hitting my spirit. Like, these people are incorrect. Like, I know the book of Revelation, right? Well, I didn't at that time. I do now. But I didn't at that time, but I just had a witness in my spirit that something wasn't right. So I began to sit in the class, and there was about 10 of us that went, and people began to drop out, say, man, this ain't right, this ain't right. And I go, yeah, you're right. And I began to talk to the people after the class that were in the class, and we began to discuss certain things. And it's just like, man, what's being preached there is incorrect. Because they were actually preaching in the arena that part of the book of Revelation has already been completed. And, you know, we know that God is not bound by space and time. And I'm not saying that some of the things that a book of Revelation doesn't pertain to now. Amen. But there is another arena where you've got to be able to discern the word, and you can only do that by the Spirit of the living God. So I began to sense that they didn't have the understanding of the things of the Spirit, but they were bound by the letter. So they were beginning to preach this book literally as just a book. In other words, you go read a book and you tell somebody about it, but they did not have the in-depth of the Spirit or the understanding. And so I would go up and finally I would say, I'd raise my hand, I'd say something, finally, they began to ignore me. So I said, okay. So people began to leave went there with about 10 of them. And I said, Lord, can I go? This is ridiculous. He said, no. I could not understand. Why do you want me to get this deception? I didn't get an answer, but I just said, okay, I'm going to be obedient. And I stayed. And then about 3/4 of the way through the class, through the whole series, the Lord said, you can go now. Man, was I happy. Well, they began to preach about the bondage. They said that you had to celebrate the Sabbath every Saturday or you were going to hell. Well, you know, when I heard that, I was like, who told you that? That's not my dad. See, because they began to worship the day instead of the Creator. Because Jesus called the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen? So I realized then that they were bound by letter and they didn't have the relationship with the Lord. They had the relationship with knowledge instead of the Lord. So the day the Lord let me come out of that, my wife and I went to a house that night where people were fellowshipping and believers. And they began to speak about how we need to obey the Sabbath. Well, hallelujah. Daddy prepared me for that, didn't he? Does everybody understand? So, man, I wanted to get out of it, but I stayed. And then another time the Lord, and because of our discipleship drug program and so forth, and I met some sweet people, and they are sweet people, and they have a ministry that prepares people secularly to get what they call CAP certificates and so forth, so they can go in and become counselors of drug addictions and so forth. So the Lord sent me there, and the first class that they began to teach on was something that I was familiar with, and I was like, okay, well, this is my confirmation. But then they got, as I began to go to the classes, I was going to, on a Saturday class from like 8 to 5. You know, and it was like, man, this is rough. And, you know, God caused me to eat humble pie. I became, you know, and at that time I was not a person that drank coffee and so forth. Of course, now I love mochas. But mocha and protein, glory to God. So I make mochas and protein drinks in the morning. Praise hallelujah. And, but at the time, so I was in charge of taking care of the coffee. And I kind of like looked at the Lord like, Lord, what? And he just said to me, die, guy. And I was like, okay. So I was in charge of getting things ready on a Saturday morning. And I would bring some pastries for people and, you know, feed the flesh, you know. But in these classes, they were teaching other things, and they were trying to bring it in a biblical base, but they, you know, when you begin to teach secular, you just can't. And you can try and mix biblical as much as you can in secular, but let me tell you something, they don't mix. They just don't mix. And, you know, I began to get, you know, a little irritated, and I said, Lord, all right, now how long do I have to be in this one? And I was in there for a while. And I began to see secular individuals come up and say that, you know, breaking addiction, putting an individual that was a heroin addict on methadone is breaking the addiction. Well, I had to strap myself to the seat, and the Lord put his hand over my mouth because there were some things I wanted to say. One day they went around the room and they said, is there anybody here who's been freed from addiction? And nobody stood up but me. And there are people that are pastors and stuff. I'm thinking, wait a minute, they're preachers and they're doing what? Well, because they believe that they will always have that problem, but they got to be careful of it. I thought, well, I'm free. And I'm thinking, man, what am I doing in here? And I looked to Dad again saying, man, when are you going to get me out of here? Well, I had, I forgot how many credits, unit credits from there and whatever. I mean, I could have gone a couple more classes and gone and taken a test to become a CAP, whatever, counselor. And it's like, you know what, Lord, he finally let me out. I'm like, you know, that's enough. But see, he was bringing me through these things, okay, to let me know what he wanted and what to avoid. Does everybody understand that? Sometimes we get so caught up in things that we want to rebel in everything God is doing. But what he's doing is bringing you through something so that you can learn, hello, not what to do. Does everybody understand that? See, we're so busy thinking, well, what are you trying to show me what to do? And he's trying to tell you, this is what I'm teaching you not to do. Hello. So what happens is we get frustrated, and when we want, you know, well, the Lord, this just can't be you and whatever. But you got to understand something. You got to have the discernment when it's time to come out and when it's time, does everybody understand? Stay. There are certain books that God brings across my path. He says, I want you to read this book. Man, I'll start buzzing through the book. And he says, I want you to go here or go there. And then he'll tell me, okay, that's it. Well, I didn't finish the book. That's all I wanted you to have. Come on, I got something else for you. What are you trying to show me? I mean, there's things he teaches me, gives me in the spirit, and then he sends a book about 2 or 3 weeks later to confirm what just got taught. Does everybody understand that? So you've got to have the discernment when to stay and when to get out. Let me share something with you. One of the things I began to realize is God stops providing. He stops providing the things when he says it's time to come out. Then you're struggling trying to maintain and everything else. Is everybody with me? Then it means it's time to come out. Yes, but I got to... Yes, God never interrupts himself. Does everybody understand it? But he does intervention, doesn't he? Amen. He does intervention. So you've got to discern what's happening. Amen. In this area. And in this area, the flood of the enemy always tries to come in to move you out of position. Is everybody with me? And there's a specific purpose for the flood of the enemy. And I want to talk a little bit about the flood of the enemy. And you've got to utilize, you know, the Bible says all things work to the good, doesn't it? So you've got to begin to utilize and discern what the enemy is doing, or what God is allowing the enemy to do, or what you've allowed the enemy to do, to begin to utilize it. Okay, two things. What am I learning not to do, and what am I learning to do? Hello, is everybody with me? So everything has got to be involved in God's perfect time. Everything is in God's perfect time, no matter what. It was God's perfect time for our brother and sister that met us yesterday, that are visiting Florida from Ireland, to come here, because God has a specific purpose for them. There's a specific reason. There's a specific reason why we are all here today. Hello. He doesn't do anything without a purpose and a reason. God makes the way, no matter what. Amen? Sometimes we get into a circumstance where it's time to unload certain things. Even in our households, our families. Let me tell you, sometimes people are, man, you know what, I'm in debt. I need to get out of debt. Well, maybe God is saying, okay, well, it's time to sell some of the things that you've been holding on to so dearly. Your Isaacs. Whoa. Maybe it's time to get rid of your Isaac. Maybe it's time to sell that car and get one without debt. Maybe it's time to, does everybody understand it? Sell this other thing to get out of debt. Hello. Maybe it's time to get rid of some of these things you've been carrying, all of these antiques that have been passed down the family line. Maybe God is trying to bring you to a place where you can begin to unload things so you're not so burdened in trying to keep them. Amen. Hello. Well, see, the flood of the enemy begins to manifest these things. If you remember what happened to Jonah, right? Jonah was a man of God who was walking away from the will of God. Well, where did he end up? On a boat in the flood. Hello. In the storm of the sea, wasn't it? Man, was it flooding? Water was coming in there. These guys are going, oh, man, we're going to die. What they first thing they started doing? Throwing stuff overboard, didn't they? They were trying to stay afloat, weren't they? But it wasn't happening. And it wasn't going to happen. That boat was going to sink until the accursed stuff was removed. And Jonah was now the accursed item. Hello. Why? Because he was walking away from the will of God. Finally, they all got together. They threw some bones, dice, you know, whatever. And they said, okay, who's going to fall on? Who's this going to fall on? Well, it fell on Jonah. And he said, man, what you doing? And Jonah says, well, I serve the God who made the heaven and the earth. He admitted in being a servant of the Lord, didn't he? And he also admitted, yes, well, I'm going away from his will. And you guys are involved now. And he's, he finally is humble. He says, listen, you might as well throw me overboard with the rest of the material. And I'll, you know, and the rest of you guys can float. And they all agreed. Yeah, man, you out of here. We're not sinking because of you. I mean, the flood of the enemy was there because Jonah was disobedient to God. Amen. Of course, something turned to the good, because when Jonah finally did his full gainer off the boat into the water, into the open mouth of Moby, he was waiting for him. The sea calmed instantly. I was like, whoa, you know what happened to the dudes that were on the boat? Man, they began to sacrifice and worship the Lord God Almighty, and that whole boat got saved. Amen? That boat got saved. But see, so that's what's happening right now. We're in a flood, man. We're in a flood. And it's the flood of the enemy, and God is beginning to expose dirty laundry. He's beginning to expose Isaacs. He's exposing all kinds of things. And what's he trying to do? Get you back into position. Hello? Because some of us have fallen from position. Good intentions are not the will of God. Is everybody with me? Good intentions are not the will of God. Hello? There's a lot of people that have good intentions, but still doing their own will, aren't they? Amen? So there is a place where God is allowing right now, there is a flood of the enemy coming in, which is beginning to shake and stir up the body of Christ like never before. I mean, if you look at what's happening right now, you know, we're in a time of elections. Well, they just went through. But look at how many politicians have been exposed. I mean, even the head of the Evangelical Christian organization was exposed. Think about that. Why? Because God is shaking his body. He's shaking his body. He's shaking the things that can't be held down anymore. Do you know what I'm saying? Things that are loose, he's shaking so they can get tightened up. Amen? So there, we are in this flood. And we've been talking about self-deliverance and everything. God's desire is to bring healing and deliverance to his children. And obedience is what brings healing and deliverance. Not your will, his will. Amen? Would you grab your swords with me and turn to the book of Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, my purpose today by the Spirit is, you know, so many times people get angry with God. All right, Lord, why aren't you doing what I asked? Come on, your word says, ask and you shall receive. Hello? Oh, the purpose of the flood is in preparation for the end time right now. We are in critical times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and today's teaching is to bring us revelation of the flood and the purpose of it. In verse 13, would you read it with me? But I do not want you to be a bonehead, right? I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. In other words, he wants you to get it, doesn't he? I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have what? No hope. In other words, he wants us to be in like-minded with understanding. Amen. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. These are the ones who have died already. Amen. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. So what he's saying, he said, you who are alive in Christ are not going to be taken up or raptured before the ones who are dead already. They're going to come up first. Amen? It says, verse 16, would you read it with me? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That is called the rapture. That is the removal of the body of Christ or the church. Okay? Is everybody with me? So what's going to happen is the dead in Christ will rise first. The graves will open. Let me tell you, you'll know. And it's not a silent removal. It's a rapture, it's called. It says that the Lord, the trumpet will sign. You're going to know it. The world's going to know it. The purpose of the rapture is the number one, is to bring revelation to the world that Jesus is God. Is everybody with me? And number two is to rescue his children to remove them from the final wrath. Amen? So in this, we're going to see that graves will open and so forth, and Jesus will come in. We will meet him in the clouds. This is called the rapture or the getting caught up. And this is for believers, and I mean followers, not those who just say, I believe. Because the word believe means to follow. Because the Bible says many will come to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, what happened? What about me? He's going to say, who are you? Well, I believed you. He said, wait a minute, you didn't follow me. You said you believed me, but you went your own way. See, if you think about it, Jesus descends and waits in a cloud. What are we going to do? Follow him. If you can't follow him here, you ain't following him here. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So the rapture is the removal of the church of followers before the great tribulation. Is everybody with me? Before the what? Great tribulation. Move to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 3. Now as he, Jesus, sat on Mount Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and when will be and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age. Now we know that he's talking about the age of grace, right? Because grace of God is what's holding back the wrath of God. That's why we are known as, we are in the age of grace. Three things the word grace means. Co-labor with God. Write it. Favor with God. Amen. And holding back God's judgment. Three things. What is it? Hallelujah. Y'all can interpret that, praise God. What is it? The favor of God, right? Co-labor of God. And the holding back the wrath of God. Has everybody got it? It's important that we understand it. That's why the Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of Grace. I want you to get this. Because the Spirit of Grace that engulfs in the body of Christ is going to be removed. That means once grace is removed, there is no more holding back, is there? There is no more God's grace, is there? Everyone that's left here when the Spirit of grace is removed is going to go through tribulation. Everyone. Even if they become a believer while they're here, they'll still have to go through tribulation. Okay? Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one what? Deceives you. Saying, peace, peace, everything's going to be okay. You know, just do your own thing. You'll be all right. Don't worry about it. Man, don't worry. You know, come on. Yeah, you accepted Jesus, praise God. Now go out and have fun. Hallelujah. I have fun in Jesus, right? Not in the enemy. For many will come in what? My name, saying, I am the Christ. In other words, I'm the way. Has everybody got it? I am the way. Look at how many false religions have popped up. I am the way. And will deceive many, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. Are we hearing of wars and rumors of wars? Man, we're in war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. Is there famines in the world? Is there pestilence in the world? Yes. Is there earthquakes in various places? You betcha, more than ever. And all of these are the what? Beginning of sorrows. There are three areas in the tribulation. We are in the beginning of sorrows. Has everybody got it? We've been in the beginning of sorrows for a while. Okay. Now, there is the beginning of sorrows. Would you go to, verse 9. Is everybody there? Then they will deliver you up to what? Tribulation, and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Are we hated by all nations right now? Amen. Does everybody understand this? I mean, we are there. Now listen. This is the second part. There's three parts of tribulation. The first is called the beginning of sorrows. The second is called tribulation. And the third is called what? Great tribulation. So everybody got it? Oh, go to verse 21. For then there'll be what? Great tribulation, such has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So this means tribulation. That means that this is going to be even greater than the flood. That's pretty wild, huh? This tribulation is going to be even more devastating. Of course, we'll have more people here, won't we? Amen. This is going to be even greater. So there's three areas of tribulation. There's the beginning of sorrows. There's tribulation. And there's great tribulation. Now, what is one of the purposes of the rapture is to what? Remove the church from what? Great tribulation. Didn't say move us from the beginning of sorrows or tribulation, but we'd be removed from the great tribulation. Hello? Okay, good. Now, go to Revelation. Let's see here. Oh, hallelujah. How can we coordinate this, Dad? Yeah, okay, go to Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. Is everybody okay? You're going to get some wonderful revelation today in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. chapter 12 and verse 13. Is everybody there? Good. Now when the dragon, who's the dragon? Satan. When the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now, who's the woman that gave birth to the male child? Well, there's two areas. Physically, it means Israel. Spiritually, it means the church. Has everybody got it? Okay. But the woman was given two what? Wings of a what? Great eagle. Now, listen. I want you to look in the spirit. Okay, so the woman was given two wings of the great, of a what? Great eagle. What's the eagle represent? Anybody know? Well, freedom and but it's a representation of the body of Christ. Amen? It's a representation of who is the head of the body of Christ? The Lord. Has everybody got this? Okay, it's something, it's an extension of the Lord. You know, many of the Indians worship the great eagle. They don't even know they're worshiping the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got it? They've known him as the great eagle that brings peace, the great eagle. See, they worship the great eagle, but the great eagle is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Of course, they worship other things too. Oh, hello? Okay, praise God. That's why the Bible tells us that we're to be like eagles, aren't we? Why? Because we're to be imitators of Christ. Has everybody got it? Okie dokie. Now, I want to go a little bit further. No watches. And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a what? After the what? Woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now, this is powerful. We're going to get this. No, hang tough. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring who kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. This right here is speaking of the rapture. That's why the flood must come before the rapture. Does everybody get this? The flood of the enemy must come before the rapture. We're going to come back over here in a minute, but I want to show you something powerful. And I want you to understand that the two wings here, okay, are Moses and Elijah. Come on. Does everybody see it? Watch. Now, we'll go to Matthew 17. No, I don't want to go there yet. Yeah, I guess we better go there. Matthew 17. Because then we're going to go somewhere else. Glory to God. Now, in the rapture, who goes first? The dead in Christ. So that means the earth is going to open up, isn't it? So the flood of the enemy, what's going to swallow when the earth opens up? Where's the flood going to go? Boom. Has everybody got it? So the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive will be taken up. That's why Moses and Elijah are the wings of the eagle. Why? Because who's the great eagle? The Lord. Amen. The Spirit of God. Are you getting this? Good. Then you can tell me about it later. Oh, to God be the glory. Matthew 17. Is everybody okay? Do y'all understand that the flood must come before the rapture? It's here. It's happening. It's getting deeper and deeper. We started out just walking on splashes of the flood. Then it got ankle deep. And it's getting more deeper until you can no longer swim. That it's either going to drown you or float you off. Oh, hallelujah. In Matthew 17, starting at verse 1. Would you read the first verse with me? Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. When the ark was found, where was it? It was on the what? High mountain, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Now, it says after 6 days, Jesus took three of his close disciples, not all of them, three of them. Hello. The word, and here it says 6 days. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was what? Transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And what? Behold, who showed up? Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said, Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What did he say? Hear him. Hello. He's got something to tell you. Hear him. Now, the Bible says in Peter, one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. This is prophetic time now. From the time of Adam and Eve, okay, to Jesus is 4,000 years. From the time from Jesus to now is over, it's 2,006 years. So that means we're already past the 6,000th year, aren't we? That we are, now we're in the millennium of rapture. Does everybody, he said what? After 6 days, so come on, is everybody with me? After 6 days, Jesus took them up to the mountain and he was transfigured. Well, on the rapture, don't you get transfigured? Okay. So he's prophetically letting us know that a flood's going to come. Hello? The flood is going to increase. When you see the flood increase to a level that you know whether you're going to drown or float, you can expect the rapture to happen. Everybody got it? Now, so he says, after days or after 6,000 years, you're going to be transfigured and the rapture will take place. Is everybody with me? And Moses and Elijah, now I want you to understand, and I'm not going to go into this deep. We have a teaching called the rapture. Moses represents those who were dead in Christ and rose. Why? Because when Moses died, the Lord said, go over there, Moses. He sent them over, and then Moses died. And then the angel of the Lord came and took Moses' body and brought it home. That means dead, those who died in Christ. Elijah was taken up alive, wasn't he? That means those who were taken up, who are still alive and raptured. Do you understand that? So the two wings from the great eagle is a representation of Moses and Elijah, where the dead will rise first and those who are alive will be taken up afterwards. Does everybody understand it? But the flood must come first. You're in the flood. You're already in the beginning of sorrows. Soon we'll be entering tribulation. Hello? Good. Hallelujah. Go to, where did I say to go? Okay, go to Matthew 24 again. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? While you're in Matthew, let me show you something before we go there. Go to Matthew 27. Is everybody okay? I think it's 27. Number 27. Hallelujah. Do you want to hear this? Oh, the glory. You know, we got to get ready. You know, I'm sharing this with you also because the importance of getting delivered. One thing you don't want to have is baggage. You know? We don't want anything to move us out. Listen, you know how many people get moved out of position because of feelings or emotions or motives? Motives. Let me tell you, you got to discern what who's... Oh, we're going to talk about this another time. The gift of discerning of spirits, let me share with you. The gift of discerning in spirits is going to be very important in this time right now. Why? Because that gift doesn't tell you how many demons somebody has, okay? It allows you to discern what spirit is motivating the human spirit. So you're not looking at the individual. You're looking in the spirit, discerning what's motivating. Does everybody understand it? It separates you from the individual. It allows you to look into things of the spirit. And that gift has got to be manifested, and God's going to release it, I really believe, in the body of Christ in even a greater way. The first thing you got to discern, what's motivating your spirit before you discern what everybody else is being motivated by. Okay, let's get back to this. Praise God. Okay, in Matthew 27. Now look at Jesus is on the cross, right? Hallelujah. Okay, here it is. Okay, in verse 50. Is everybody there? Jesus is on a cross in verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and what did he do? He yielded up his spirit, didn't he? Okay. Then what happened? And behold, is everybody there? Come on, read it with me. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. In other words, God was making access between him and his children. See, God chose to come to you. But first he had to forgive you before he could come. Hello? See, he had to forgive you before you could ask for forgiveness. Come on, get it. So the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the what? Earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And what happened? And the graves were what? Open. Woo-hoo. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were what? Raised. Now, they were. Remember, the graves were open. These bodies, you know, because most of them were in tombs. So all of a sudden, the rocks cracked, things fell, the graves opened up, and there were these dead bodies. Now, they were the saints. They were not of the old. They were during Jesus' ministry who'd gotten saved. of the 3.5 years. Jesus is on the cross, right? He dies. He yields up his spirit. He goes into hell right from the cross. Goes right to hell. First thing he does is take death, hell, and the grave. The keys from Satan. And all of the graves were open. All those who were believers in Christ, while Jesus was here in his ministry and accepted him, their graves opened up. Amen. Now, look at what it says. Jesus is down there kicking butt on the devil. Goes into the parts of Hades and rescues his people. Opens up heaven for them. Is everybody there? Come on. In verse 53, would you read it with me? And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went in to the holy city and appeared to them. So Jesus, they did not come out of their graves until Jesus rose. So they were in their graves 3 days, weren't they? Hello? They were in the graves were open 3 days, weren't they? Jesus went to hell, the graves were open. 3 days later, when Jesus rose, they rose. And what happened? They went into the cities and witnessed the people about, because what just happened? Man, they just rose from the dead. Amen? Has everybody got it? And they went in and witnessed the people and everything. And powerful. And Jesus rose from the dead. He went. Of course, he saw Mary Magdalene. And he said, don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father yet. Why? Because he was carrying the blood. Oh, hallelujah. And when he went to heaven, the blood was offered. Because it was the blood of the Father. Is everybody with me? That's a whole other teaching. I can't go there now. Oh, hallelujah. So in other words, the Word always confirms the Word. So what you saw on Jesus' death and resurrection is what you'll see on Jesus' return. It says the earth will quake, right? The dead will rise first, and those who are alive will come up. Is everybody with me? Okay, now we can go to Matthew 24. I'm glad I got that over with. Did anybody get it? Okay. In Matthew 24 and verse 36. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Master. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now, you don't want to be the cause of the flood. Hello? You don't want to be the cause of the flood, man. You don't want to be a contributor to the flood, do you? Hallelujah. So put a cork in your mouth. Verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the what? Days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, there were what? They were what? Eating and drinking and marrying, man, women, given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Do you understand? They were partying. Woohoo! You know? But you got to understand, this was not righteous partying. This was unrighteous partying. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you see that? So the flood must come first before the rapture. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken and one will be left. Why? One was what? Following and the other one wasn't. Watch therefore for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour of the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be what? Broken into. What house is he talking about? You. You wouldn't allow your house to be broken into by who? a demon. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Whoa. So we are in a days like it is Noah, isn't it? We're in the flood. We're seeing more. Hey, there are certain states that are approving gay marriage. The party that just took the House of Representatives and the Senate approves gay marriage and abortion. I'm like, come on, y'all get it? Man, we're that close. We are that close. Why? Because they're going to promote the days of Noah. And the flood is going to get increased. It's going to be more difficult for you as a believer to even want to stay here. You're not even going to want to stay here any longer. You're going to look to go home because things are so disgusting. Come on, you turn on TV, you can't even watch a commercial. There's nothing but perversion to sell a car. Amen? I mean, there's a woman lusting over a hamburger. I mean, some of the things you see is just downright disgusting, man. Something comes on TV, we'll be watching something good, and a commercial will come on, I got to put my hands over my daughter's eyes. I mean, think about it. When I was a kid, I never heard of Sex in the City. Sex in the City, I mean, let's just promote it. It's bad, man, and it's going to get worse. Amen? It's going to get worse. And for those of you who want to walk upright, because you have a heart to follow God, you're going to find that the earth is going to get dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. Amen? I'm telling you, it's got to happen before the rapture. Do you all understand this? Do you know why you're hearing this today? Because God is getting ready. Man, you got a specific, important part. Even you, going back to Ireland, you need to carry this message. Because you guys are going to be two witnesses. You don't even know what God's doing. Man, God drew you here. Sometimes we just don't know. We have no idea what's happening. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. Thank God we don't have to figure it all out. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Genesis? Let's look what's going on in the town of Genesis. Let's go back in the past. Genesis chapter 6. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 6. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Is everybody okay? You all there? In verse 13. Let's read it together. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13. And God said to Noah, come on, read it with me. The end of all flesh has come before me. Woohoo. Now I want you to look today in the spirit. God's going to eventually say, the end of everyone walking in the flesh has come before me. Because the spirit of grace, hello, the spirit of grace was the Holy Spirit who, the Bible says, be led by the spirit. Amen. Be led by the spirit. He's going to say, listen, there's a time when he's going to finally say, listen, you were called my children. The end of all of you who are walking in the flesh has come to an end. Everybody got it? And he says here, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Hallelujah. I haven't seen any of that wood around. Has anybody seen one gopher wood? Must float good. Yeah, that's why it's called gopher wood. Hallelujah, what a revelation. Told you you'd get a revelation today, didn't I? Gopher wood. See, I didn't know if somebody was going for something or. Oh, hallelujah. I like the revelation. Maybe he was just trying to make a short goal for wood. Noah, go for wood. You know, maybe they just made the translation wrong. So next time you're sending for someone for wood, just say, go for wood. You expect it to float. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Whew. I think we're still flowing over from yesterday. He was funny, wasn't he? Oh, man. Great. That was Lou. Lou the comedian, praise God. Okay, let's go for the word. Okay, where are we? Make yourself an ark of wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. This is how you shall make it. And he tells them how to make it. Is everybody with me? Okay, cool. Let's keep going. You shall make a window for the ark in verse 16. You shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door at the ark, and you shall make it with a lower, second, and third deck. So this was a, you know, it was a luxurious cruiser, man. You know, Trump would have paid big bucks for this thing. So everybody got it. Okay, now go to chapter 7. So we know what's happening here, right? God was going to make an end of all flesh by the flood. All right? Now go to verse 1 in chapter 7 here. And the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all of your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, to each of the animals, to each of the animals that are unclean, and a male and his female. Also 7 each of the birds of the air, male or female, to keep the species alive in the face of all the earth. For after 7 days I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Has everybody got it? Praise God. So we see here, now listen, Noah was how old? Isn't it amazing? And after 6,000 years, hello? And Noah was what? 600. You see the correlation in the 6? Amen. Is everybody with me? One day with the Lord is 6. Okay. Good. Hallelujah. So we know that it's going to be like the days of Noah, isn't it? And in the days of Noah, God said, all flesh shall come to an end. Now, if you read further, you can read that whole chapter 5 and 6, and you can see where all the thoughts of men were evil. All the thoughts and intents of men were evil, and that's why God was destroying. Why? Because flesh, the intent of flesh is evil, but you have dominion over it with the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Good. Now go to Galatians 5. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Galatians chapter 5. Are you all understanding a little bit more of the rapture now? Hallelujah. In verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Everybody there? Let's read it together. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you what? Wish or desire or feel. You know, when you want to go out and buy that motorcycle right away? You don't go out and buy that car right away? And you forgot you stole money on something else? Hello? Has everybody got it? Come on. Okay, let's go forward. Oh, hallelujah. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do what you feel like. Hello. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, which God is going to destroy, are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you or tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in time past, that those who do what? Practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you got to understand that. Why? But the flood's going to come first. What's going to do? It's going to expose all this, isn't it? Amen? Go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Pete chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2. Okay, I know I have it in my Bible. I think Pete walked out of my Bible for a minute. In verse 4, would you read it with me? For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Do you understand where we're getting at now? We're going to be so disgusted by the filthy wickedness, you know, what's going on. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the what? Flesh. In the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are what? Presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Does everybody see this? Oh, hallelujah. Now, so he says, you and I are going to escape the great flood. Do you all understand that? Okay, you and I are going to escape it. Now go to, let's go to verse 12. Is everybody okay? Read it with me. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be what? Caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure, to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained to covetous practices and are what? Accursed children. They have forsaken the right way. In other words, they've known it and walked from it and gone astray following the way of Balaam and the son of Beor, who lived who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempests, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, these have been taken captive. Let me share with you this flood of the enemy. These are individuals he's talking about right now. So we see that God said he's going to make a way of escape for those who are the righteous, right? But those who are not the righteous, they're going to be taken captive by the flood of deception, of deceptive delusions. Is everybody with me? With false doctrines, love of money, false beliefs, false expectations, false hopes, living in error, false religion. Has everybody got it? Fallen by the way, trying to survive the enemy's flood with worldly wisdom, understanding, and strength and wealth. They're going to try to survive this flood that's happening. I'm going to repeat this again, because in this flood that we are in right now, right, God said that he'll make a way of escape for his children. Why? Because you're not going to get caught in it. You're going to float above it. Amen? Didn't the ark float in the flood when everybody else? You ever see that? Why? Because it's in preparation of the rapture. Amen? See, but during the flood right now that we're in, it's going to get deeper. All right? It's going to get deeper. Things are going to get more difficult. You're going to see more corruption, more things be exposed. When this president is removed, you're going to see a lot more. We already see it. They're already the intent of to do what man wants to do instead of God wants to do has already entered into the court systems. It's already entered into the government, the economic, and everything else. We are in the flood. And it's going to increase in a greater way. But God said he's going to make a way of escape for the righteous. Amen? Amen? But during this flood, he's going to clean us. He's going to prepare us. But the ones who are not walking by the Spirit but are still walking in the flesh are going to be taken captive by the flood with deceptive delusions, false doctrines and beliefs, love of money, false expectations and hopes, living in the error of truth, fallen by the ways, trying, and they're going to, because they're going to get caught up, they're going to try to survive the enemy's flood by worldly wisdom, worldly understanding, worldly strength, and worldly wealth. Does everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 18. I want to read this again. No, read it anyways. Are you there? Come on, read it with me. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and so having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now listen. This is powerful because there's going to be others who are teaching others their deceptions, which is going to cause them to return to the old ways. Does everybody understand that? Once an individual is taken captive, that individual taken captive is going to be led by demonic forces to bring others captive with them. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Good. Go to 2 Timothy 4. Oh, hallelujah. I didn't know we were going to get this in depth, so I guess we are. So let's go for it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Everybody okay? Glory. This is very important. Why? So you didn't get caught up in the flood. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who would judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Hello. The Bible says, worship, teach it. That's why I got to come around once in a while and kick people in the butt to get in the presence of God. Because they don't know that they're already taken captive. Does everybody get it? They're already taken captive. Just a mirror. Look, the word destroy, it's that the Bible talks about people perishing. It's because they're decaying. Because without God's presence, we become decaying. Amen. And verse 3, would you read it with me, please? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why? Because they've been taken captive by the flood. But according to their own desires or lusts, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Now listen, these are individuals that begin to compromise. Well, you know, it's okay to drink on weekends now. Well, it's okay. You know, they begin to compromise in what their eyes see. They begin to compromise in hanging out with old friends that lure them away, thinking that it's okay now. Does everybody understand? They begin to compromise the things of God and get complacent. It says here in verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables, voice of the stranger. But you be watchful in all things, even endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. And an evangelist does what? Shares with others, doesn't he? Amen. What did he say? He says, rebuke, exhort, shake. Man, there's sometimes I want to shake the bejeebies out of somebody. But the devil don't come out by me shaking him. Come on, what's the matter with you, man? I mean, there's no excitement. You know, you got to be zealous for God. You got to be zealous. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 6. Is everybody there? And now you know what is what? Restraining. That the devil may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, which means the Lord, or the Spirit, who now restrains will do so until he is what? Taken out of the way. So the body of Christ is the only thing that's restraining all hell to break loose here. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Acts 17. So we know that the only thing that's restraining the powers of darkness is you. So you're either in the flood serving darkness, hello, or in the flood rescuing. Amen. In Acts chapter 17. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. In verse 24. Acts 17 and verse 24. Everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his what? We are also his what? Offspring. Therefore, since we are the offsprings of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Surely these times of what? Ignorance God has overlooked. But now what? Commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Thank you, Lord. So the flood must come before the rapture. Does everybody got it? Hallelujah. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 3. Praise you, Lord. What's the word perish mean? Decaying. Verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing, or what? Decaying. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So who's blinding them? Satan. He's known as the God of this age. Does everybody understand this? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now let me share something with you quickly. Because even in this area, the devil is seeking you, right? The purpose of the flood is because the enemy's flood. One of the things he's going to try to do is prevent you from growing also. Isn't he? He prevents you from growing. The growth of believers are hindered or halted by three distinct enemies. The devil, the world, and the flesh. The devil, the world, and the flesh. We are warned how the devil walks or roams about like a lion. When lions hunt, they look for the weak, the young, isolated, unguarded. They are the ones marked for attack. The devil's ultimate agenda is to destroy us, not merely to hurt or maim or discourage, but to devour and to destroy us completely. Amen? Praise God. Now, I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Then we're going to do a few worship songs and get healed. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Everybody there? Verse 17. That's why he says, therefore what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises which we just talked about, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I've got more, but I'm not going there. I think this is enough. I think you got the point. Hallelujah. So the flood must come before the rapture. Everybody got it? Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your healing resurrection power. And we thank you, Lord, for not only what you're doing, what you've done, and what you're guiding us to do. Lord, again, we ask for your forgiveness in every area of ignorance. And Lord, now that you've imparted in us more knowledge, let this knowledge bring glory to your name and a desire to want to know you even better. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.